The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello there, and welcome to another episode of the Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, we scrutinize, and we celebrate The Last Jedi one tension-building minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from alexrobinson.fun.
I'm Pete the Retailer from petetheretailer.com.
And I'm Liz Whitaker from lizwhitaker.xyz.
Ah, excellent.
I did a Pete.
Welcome to the XYZ Club.
Well, thanks for coming back.
Somebody go to that website and tell me what you see. So tell me what's there. Maybe I'll have put something there.
Well, thanks for coming back, Liz, and for debuting your new website on our show. We're here to talk about minute 119. Minute 119 starts with a Vulptex standing on a pile of Inca Rose ingots. What do you call them? The little stones? And it ends a minute later with the resistance soldiers popping up from the trench, preparing for the First Order attack on the salt flats of Crait. Now, we had an item from yesterday that we kicked till today, so I feel like we should open it up with a discussion of doors and the relative size of the asses that they cover.
Yeah, ass. This is... is a thing that comes back here. Sorry to anybody who's listening with kids. You can say it on TV, so it's not too bad. But
they use it in the movie, so you can't blame us for that.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, I mean, we always just kind of, that's usually our, what's that word? That's our guide. Whatever they say in the movie, we can say. But yeah, it's an unusual, now it's come up before, right? Didn't Poe say it earlier? Or am I mistaking that for something else? Will he say it later?
You know, I don't remember.
Didn't he?
I feel like the conversation has come up, but I didn't remember if it had to do with this. I didn't know if people referred to it referring to this minute that's here, but I was going to ask if that word is in Wikipedia.
It is not. I just looked at it doesn't.
Like I thought they were going to be like, this was a creature that lived, you know, on that had it was enormous creatures that like lived in pens with giant doors on them, you know, something like that. Where they
there's
try to dance around it.
Dodra Fass, which is a male Bith, but I can't find any references to that here. I just should have looked through the other scripts to see if we have it, but but I don't I don't recall if that's it. It seems, I mean, you know, we do have colloquialisms.
Yeah.
And some of them do seem earthy, but I don't know. This doesn't really, it does and it doesn't bother me at the same time.
Well, it makes me want to do the dad thing of what's an ass door.
Right.
Also, don't try to Google how many times does Poe say ass, because you will get Edgar Allan Poe was a broke-ass freelancer. Not helpful. Maybe interesting read for later, but not taking me down the path I'm looking for right now.
Yeah.
I'm opposed to it in the sense that I'm opposed to it in the sense that
opposed Dameron.
Star Wars movies should not necessarily be kid. I mean, I know I always say they're kids' movies, but I do feel like bringing up words that I feel uncomfortable saying because I know we have a mixed audience podcast.
Right.
Like, that seems like it should be a flag that it should not be in a Star Wars movie for me personally.
Yeah.
My guess is the TV or the reason it was allowed is because it doesn't actually refer to human anatomy. I feel like that's the
right
ratings guide, yeah. Like guidance is that he's not talking about
right
someone's like posterior.
Saying, like, yeah, he's not saying like, you know what I love. he's not saying something like that. He's, using right. a metaphorical sense. But yeah. I guess it's just another one of those barriers coming down.
It's like in, not to get to, again, we're not going to get to the point where we have to censor ourselves, but there's a common, you can say on TV just the word by itself, but you can't say it with a common add-on, which is what you would call somebody. Like if you thought somebody was a jerk, you could call them a word with that word that ass is half of the word. You can't say the full word.
Right.
And
right.
They will often bleep out the second part and leave the ass part just because that mm-hmm. is too specific a reference.
Right.
Anyway. But big ass door. I can't tell. It does make me think of Tron because now I'm in Tron where they're breaking into the NCOM lab to... that Flynn is going to take over his program again, and they punch in the code. Because Bruce Boxleitner has the access, they go through the thing, and the door opens, and it takes forever. And he's like, now that is a big door. So I want to see Tron, Return of the Jedi, with C-3PO in the big door, and then this all kind of access the same thing in my head.
C-3PO in the big door, a Star Wars story.
That makes me think of the door in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. So the apparently in the in Solo we'll see ass again.
Oh.
We'll hear the word ass again.
I was like, wait, what? Did that that scene pan further up than I thought?
So we'll pin that. We'll come back to this conversation next year.
All right. We know it's on Blu-ray in September, so that'll be good.
Yeah, it's available on Blu-ray and digital now. Mm-hmm. So,
this minute has a binoculars shot.
Hmm.
Or should I say a quadnoculars shot?
Oh.
Because that's the what he's using to when they show him. They're like binoculars that have extra little binoculars on top.
Right.
That are apparently used for like when you're like in... like snow glare situations, like the glare, it cuts down on the glare of the salt flats. So there you go. That's what they're for. But I always like binocular shots in Star Wars. I guess they're more like little cameras. It's more like you're looking through your phone, right?
Yeah.
It's not like you're looking through a lens and you're actually seeing the image. You're seeing the image filtered through like a video screen.
Now, do we get the image, the POV of the quadnoculars? Do we get that? Is that how... we see the battering ram cannon?
Yeah, we definitely see it like on the horizon moving.
But that's
in.
Through like a, that's more of like a periscope thing than a, because it's like hanging from the ceiling like dental equipment.
Hmm.
Oh, is that, because later on we definitely see the quadnoculars. So maybe this shot
quadnox might be tomorrow.
You could be right. Mm. I apologize.
Today is periscope. Periscope.
Love a good periscope.
That's true. Did you guys ever see the movie Down Periscope?
Why do I feel like that's come up before? No.
Probably
I
every
haven't.
Time a periscope has, though.
Could be.
I'll bring it up. So, anyway, moving on.
You bring it up. Periscope.
Yes, we see the battering ram cannon, as Finn calls it. The first thing I thought of, that implies the existence of battering rams in the Star Wars universe.
Right.
But I guess that would be a common thing. A common. People breaking down doors would be something that every society would need.
But
curiously, the Visual Dictionary identifies it as the super laser siege cannon. does not mention it being, you know, battering
that
ram.
That makes more sense. Like, it, a battering ram, it has to have the motion of swinging back and forth. Yeah. That's the battering part of battering ram.
Yeah, there's got to be some battery.
I'm guessing this. I'm guessing this compact Death Star laser is not like, all right, I'm going to move forward and then use the momentum of my backwards motion to swing back harder. Like, I don't feel like that's how, I'm not a physicist, but I don't think that's how lasers work.
I would love...
it would be different if the laser kind of like shot it and blasted it back and then it would swing forward, you know?
Right.
What I mean? Like, yeah,
that, I would love that if it, like they set up this whole cannon and it blasts itself back and everybody's like, huh, that, like, I guess we won. I guess they left. And then minutes later, it comes swinging back extra hard and busts down their big ass door.
Oh, yeah.
Though, so I think this is just kind of a way of showing that, that Finn really doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right, yeah.
Right.
So, he's like, it's a
battery, that's what they
ram.
Called
we
it down in
ready.
The janitor's lounge.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, they got one of those super laser tanks.
Yeah, those.
Mm-hmm. He just had to guess what it did by seeing it. It's going to roll on us, maybe, or something?
I don't know. It looks like it's going to shoot something. I don't know.
Possibility it's a taco truck, but I don't know.
Weirdly, if you zoom out far enough, it's almost like a giant lightsaber that they're dragging. Oh. It's almost like Anne's dragging a giant lightsaber across the sand, and then they're going to turn out to knock this door
down. He just saw the discarded user's manual, and all it said was for use on big ass doors. Oh. And so he was like, well, I guess battering ram?
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. For the BA in battering stand for big ass, so it's actually an acronym. So so there's no other exits, C-3PO reveals, based on BB-8's analysis,
right?
Which which tracks with the Empire's lack of safety protocols. Like, there would be no OSHA rules, right?
Rebellion resistance, right?
Right, but originally it was a mining. It was a mining operation.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
right. Well, was it part of the mining guild?
Do Earth mines have more than one exit? Or is that why people get stuck down in them and need rescuing?
Yeah, I guess by nature you can't have there can't be an emergency exit that you could access from everywhere because you're always digging into new territory. So
if there was a back door already, then you wouldn't need to go in the front door.
But maybe they oh, now I feel like some coal miner is going to be listening to this and be furious at our ignorance.
They got all excited yesterday when we were talking about coal being the official rock of Kentucky, and now they're just like, I thought they were on my side. I think the way that a mine works is that there's multiple paths to the main shaft, right? I don't know. Yeah, we know nothing about this.
Yeah. We apologize to any of the coal miners or geologists
their
out there.
Their daughters,
if
coal miners' daughters.
If you're a coal miner, call 8DayGreedo and
it's true.
Explain
about
to us
coal mine safety.
If you're the OSHA inspector for a coal mine, please let us know what the regulations are, RE, emergency exits, and the not being blocked.
Apparently now it's required that every mine shall have two or more emergency escape ways.
There you go.
But this is
coal
an old...
miners, not needed.
Yeah. Hang up, coal miners.
It's solved.
But but this is an older thing. And it's possible that there were, as we see, that there's some paths that are blocked by debris. So maybe there was originally more of an exit strategy. That has been jostled since it's been abandoned.
They're paths that many would consider to be unnatural, but
they are
paths nonetheless. So.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Finn, here's an interesting factoid you might not have noticed.
Sure.
It's been like 20 minutes since Finn has asked about Rey.
Oh, yeah.
Or mentioned her in any aspect whatsoever. So we safely say that he is now, like, now he's officially part of the Resistance. He is totally committed now.
The way that you set that up, I thought it was leading to a pun, and I was excited. I got my little pun gloves on. I was like, can we say that he's right? And I was like,
he's honoring the Ray-Ban.
All right.
Do you think now has his arc completed where he is now, like, on board?
Yes.
Because he's not talking about, we have to make sure Ray can get here safely.
We have to go get Ray.
He's not saying anything like that. He's totally just like, how are we going to defend our, you know,
he learned the truth about capitalism, and now he is on the side of the Resistance.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, the not to kind of belittle things, not to minimize things, but like he's met another person. Like, you know,
yeah,
and he's like,
he's made another friend.
Yeah,
wait a minute, you're not the only lady in the whole universe.
Yeah. That's, you know, I think that's part of it, that he was, you know, like Ray was essentially the, besides Poe, the only person who had ever been nice to him, and now he's got another person here who's sharing his adventure. So it's taking some of the pressure off. Somebody should be like, it's like, oh, we still haven't been in communication with Ray, but who?
That girl from the
desert. Yeah, we used to hang out.
Mm-hmm. And meanwhile,
Rose went back to Jakku.
she wanted to go.
And
poor Rose is seeing this now. Is like, oh, he hasn't mentioned Ray in like 2 hours. I should totally make a move on him. Like, she will see where that goes.
She's gonna tase him.
she does have this one moment where she. When he's giving his little speech about how they have to go out there and stop the Empire, she has this like really proud smile when she's watching him talk.
Right.
And she's just, it's like she's just, her heart's so warm because her lessons that she taught him on Canto Bight, he listened.
Yeah, and she originally looked up to him so much, and then turned out he was a coward and a traitor. But now there's something good in him still after
all. He's living up to her original image.
He might have some more arc left in him yet.
Speaking of arcs, I was wondering where another character is in the story. And I think I know now. Never mind. I had my question was, where's R2? But R2 is on the Falcon with Chewie and Rey.
Yes.
Because it really is, you know, speaking of kind of, I found a new friend, like, you know, C-3PO and BB-8 are really doing the bit. They're really, that's, you know, they're going to come back and C-3PO is going to be like, oh, I don't need you anymore. Like, I've got.
BB-8 is like the cousin Oliver.
Well, it's more like.
When Growing Pains added Leonardo DiCaprio.
And so who was the other kid? What was the other kid's name?
Kirk Cameron.
He was still there. Oh, yeah. Ben.
He was still Ben got replaced
as a young kid. Or like on Growing Pains when Tina Yathers got replaced by...
That was Growing Pains.
Family Ties.
Was there another one? Did they do it again?
Family Ties when they added that other new... Worf's son. to the cast and poor Tina Yathers. So R2-D2 is the Tina Yathers of Star Wars.
Yes. But he didn't like fully get replaced. They were still around. I feel like RTD. He is still around, I guess.
Yeah. I don't even remember. Does he even appear in Rise of Skywalker? I don't remember him doing anything.
Yeah.
In Rise of Skywalker? Yeah.
R2-D2 or Ben Seaver?
Possibly both. There's an awful lot of people at the end of the movie.
There are a lot of people. He could be one of those resistance fighters and we'd never know.
It's true, yeah.
But R2 plays the hollow of Leia.
That was
on
this movie.
Octo, yeah.
But
does he appear in Rise of Skywalker, not Last Jedi?
Oh, sorry.
Like, is R2's arc done? Is R2's arc done? The bounty hunter.
He should have another arc, arc 2.
There you go.
Yeah, does he do anything?
I think he does, but I can't, like, you would think he would be an important part of, like, C-3PO's memory being erased and all that stuff, but they're separate from him.
Yeah.
But
he restores C-3PO, but
now,
but he, I think he stays, it's like, you know, Rose and Pippin and R2-D2 are just like, all right, have fun storming the castle, we'll see you later, and then, like, they don't show up again until the end of the movie.
I totally forgot Pippin's in that movie.
Right. Is it Pippin? I get them confused.
No, it's the other one.
Mary?
It's Mary. Mary.
It's Mary.
It's not Penny's boat.
No.
Here's the thing. Egg.
Thunder Egg? The state rock of Oregon?
Sadly, it's not a thunder egg. Poe, when they're talking about this, sorry, Finn says that the, is it Poe or Finn? It's Poe. Says that the super laser siege cannon would crack the door open like an egg.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, we talked about eggs? This is a perfect example, perfect opportunity for more food and Star Wars letters. What are eggs about? Let me look up eggs on Wikipedia.
Well, we know eggs. Don't we see eggs? We saw eggs in The Mandalorian.
That was Suga.
And Darth Vader sits in an egg.
Yeah.
He sits in an egg.
Well,
it's not an organic egg, but...
I looked up, egg. Canonically, the entry on eggs is very, very brief.
Huh.
That's shocking.
It's got a little quote from Sabine Wren saying, are those eggs? And then it says, some species...
One of my favorite lines from Star Wars.
That's actually a pretty good Sabine, too.
some species of organism gave birth to their offspring in eggs instead of through live birth. Egg would protect the young until they eventually hatched. Eggs are known to be fragile. When the First Order attempted to break through the massive door which protected the... Massive, not big ass. Massive door which protected the Resistance outpost during the Battle of Crait, Poe Dameron remarked that the enemy's super laser siege cannon would crack the door open like an egg. And end of article.
Yeah.
Ooh, we do see spider eggs in Mandalorian.
Hmm.
But Mandalorian...
On the hot springs planet.
Yeah.
That's true. And that Frog Lady has a whole jar full of eggs. That
Grogu goes to town on.
Baby Yoda's eating them. Plenty of eggs.
They're like tapioca, I bet.
The Legends tab has a lot more. It doesn't have that. Oh, yeah, it does. Here we go. Yeah, there's a lot more about eggs. It's not that much more.
Gourmand does the. She cooks with eggs.
Some species of reptomammals and mammals, such as monotremes, but all amphibians, reptilian, and avian species were known to lay eggs, such as Quarsav, Skytry, Cadu, Marlellos, Nunas, Fambas, Geejaws, and Fanbacks.
And thus did Pete go back to his own dimension.
Yep.
Sure.
I think I just cast a spell. You know what the Marlello is?
I give up. What is it?
It's a duck.
What's a duck?
Exactly.
Do ducks exist in the...
That's why it's not canonical.
That is really surprising, given the number of creatures. I'm assuming in the Clone Wars, we must have seen dozens of creatures, and at no point were there eggs in it? That seems strange to me.
No. Well, Sabine wanted to know if something was an egg, and then Poe said the door would crack like an egg, and that's it.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, I can't...
Was
Nothing's
Sabine
really
referring to a door when she said she pointed to a door and goes, that's an egg?
Oh. Here's also Mudhorn Egg has its own entry.
Oh, we see that is also in The Mandalorian.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
So many eggs in The Mandalorian.
Suga. Yeah.
And then Deviled Pikobi Egg, which is from the Black Spire Outpost cookbook.
Hmm.
And then there's an article, and this is going to be confusing, because there's an article
about mirth,
about Easter eggs.
Oh.
And so there's Easter eggs exist in legends in Star Wars. So
wait a minute.
Wait, are like actual.
I don't want to go too deep into it right now. I don't want to make this, but yes.
Like
actual Easter eggs, and I don't know why. And I'm not going
now,
to
do you mean
out.
Easter eggs in the sense of eggs that are decorated and hidden
the
in bushes for child to find?
What it seems
or do you
like,
mean
yes.
Easter eggs like the kind that you find in a plot hole in a movie?
I think it's both, in a sense. I don't know. Oh. I again, it was a brief article that linked to something else that I'm not going to read right now. But egg.
That would be funny to have someone who's exploring the galaxy looking for Easter eggs.
Right.
I'd heard if you go to this planet and click on it twice, you can find an Easter egg there.
The whole ship is one big basket.
Strange, because I guess that Easter... anyway.
Yeah.
There's a lot of theological implications to Easter existing in the Star Wars universe, so maybe we'll save that for when Father David comes back. Huh? Anything else for 119?
I did have another... Liz, this is kind of what... When you were talking about Finn giving his little kind of rally, not a speech at the end, but his pep talk at the end. And Rose is giving him a look of like, yeah, like he learned something. And I like that Poe seems to be on board mainly because it's like Finn is totally appealing to his let's jump in a cockpit and blow something up side.
Uh-huh.
Like that seems like
he's
like,
suggesting
yeah, we're
gonna
do
it so I don't have to.
Exactly.
Look, it wasn't my idea.
It's like, look, now I'm a good leader by I'm encouraging these guys to
I'm developing
to do their
my
thing.
Team.
Yeah.
It does seem to contradict the whole It does seem to contradict the theoretical lesson that he was supposed to be learning from Holdo, which is that not all problems can be solved by. And now it seems like the resolution of the movie is for him to go out and blow something up with it. Like,
but it's not. Is it really? It's not. It doesn't end up being that in a sense. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't. That doesn't help. None of this helps.
It buys him some time.
Doesn't.
Yeah, I mean that would their plan is to just buy time for the message to get out.
Yeah. Right.
But and in that, by that yardstick, it works.
It doesn't because the cannon is still going this whole time. They don't really slow anything down. I don't think they're just warming, getting it into place and warming it up, and then it goes. And they almost fly into it, but then they don't. They decide not to. And
but Finn's speech is appealing to the worst aspects of Poe's nature.
Yeah, he hasn't. Yeah. He's still learning. He's not fully reformed yet.
Right.
And again, he's we said this. Vis-a-vis his outfit, but that being indicative of his actual character, is that he's imprinting on people as he goes, and we just kind of joked about like, oh, I found a new friend, but it's like he's incorporating parts of these other,
the Zelig of space.
Right.
I don't know, can we refer to Zelig anymore?
I'm not sure. But he's kind of incorporating all this as he goes, which is a perfectly, that's not a criticism. That's like what people do. That's like, when you get to college and you all of a sudden you're like, you reinvent yourself because you're meeting a whole bunch of new people. So it's like Finn College. Finn is at college.
Yeah.
It's his sophomore year.
Freshman Finn.
Here you go.
Oh, you think sophomore year, though.
Well, I feel like freshman year was Force Awakens.
Force Awakens.
Sure.
Right. All right. Well, the great crate debate continues tomorrow on the show. So in the meantime, go to StarWarsMinute.com/merch to get all of your clothing, drinking mug, phone case, tapestry, pillow needs, and more. And more. There's more than that, right?
More.
T-shirts.
Tote
so
bags,
I say
magnets, stickers.
Hoodies.
Notebooks.
Yeah. Tote
notebooks.
Notebooks.
Everything you need in your life,
covers.
You can get at if you go to StarWarsMinute.com/merch, you can get it with fun designs, Star Wars related designs on them, done by me. And if you see something you like, jump on it because you never know when
it might not be there tomorrow.
Taken away like so many Star Wars minutes.
Star Wars.